Let me read to you just the last little bit of one of the shorter letters of the New Testament, the letter of Jude. Jude is a brother of Jesus and writes a letter, a very general letter to the churches. There's no one specific in mind, we think, but a letter that lots of churches would have read together. And this is the last little bit from verse 17. This is God's word. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there'll be scoffers who will follow their ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Well, I made a huge mistake on holiday. We drove to France, and before we got off the Channel Tunnel, there was an announcement. And the announcement told us two things. Number one, put your watch forward an hour. And number two, drive on the right side of the road. Now, guess which one I forgot about. At the first roundabout in France, I went left instead of right. This is why they make you put a big UK sticker on the back of your car. Well, from then on, it was all concentration. I was watching my speed, the lane changes. I was keeping a good eye out for the roundabouts. And this morning, as we hit September almost, and we hit that new term that's going to run us to Christmas, I want to tell us what I told myself driving in France. Keep your wits about you. That's for the church. That is for the Christian life. We need to concentrate and watch what we're doing. How do we hear that this morning? How do we really take that to heart? Well, this little bit of Jude will be our helper. Jude's a difficult little letter, and it's often neglected as a result. But that last section that I read to you will be really useful to us as we keep our wits about us, as we head into another church season, and as we do that, of course, together. The first thing to say to you is you need to keep your wits about you. Keep an eye on yourself. You know your habits at this point pretty well, I'm sure. You've got a routine to the day, to the week, to the month, even the year. And you like to follow that routine. It's the daily coffee. It's the day you like to go shopping. It's the week of the month when you get your hair cut. Our habits, our rhythms, they keep us right, don't we? And any break in the routine can upset us, put us in a bad mood. Churches are the same. I'm not sure how you found the Sundays in August while I was away. Maybe you like the spontaneity of a different speaker each Sunday, or maybe you prefer the regular, steady habit of me most weeks. I'm not going to ask you to tell me which one you prefer. Jude's readers are like us. They would have been used to lots of speakers. Preachers in those days weren't like ministers. They were traveling preachers. And that's great. That's fair enough. But it carried a little danger. New messages, new ideas could creep in and start to create problems in the church. This is why Jude tells the church, remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus foretold. That's a reminder. That's a callback to the routine, to the steady, constant teaching of the apostles, the things they said again and again and again. They are proved, they are trustworthy, and they're true. It was like me talking to myself around the roundabouts of France. It might be you reminding yourself each day that grace is fresh every morning. It could be your weekly trip here to church just to hear one more time that Jesus is Lord and that with him, everything will be okay. For Jude, it's a specific reminder about life before Jesus comes back. That's what the apostles taught. He says, remember what they said. Well, what did they say? In the last times, there'll be scoffers who follow ungodly desires. Now, there is a reminder. I'm sure we don't think like this, but you and I live in the last times. And that reminder says it won't be easy. Now, when we say last times or end of days, it can be very scary. We can get carried away with thoughts of the end of the world. But it's really just a way of talking about the time between when Jesus first came, his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection, and the time when he'll come back. His second appearing, the second coming. Those are the last times. That's now. And these days are marked with all kinds of weirdness, both inside and outside the church. Now, you don't need me to tell you that. You can watch the news yourself. But Jude's focus is the church. He says, in the last days, in the church, there'll be troublesome types who divide and encourage ungodly ways. That's this one here. Now, as you would glance at that and read it for yourself, I'm sure you can think of someone, maybe more than one person, who's just divisive. Someone who is known to us for what they are against. They have some issue, and that's what they're known for. Now, that's not good. And it's not Christian. It's not the Christian way. Think about it. The gospel says that God is for us, not against us. And in Northern Irish Christianity, we could sure do with knowing with what we're for rather than what we're against. We're good at that here in this part of the world. We know what we're against. Less sure about what we're for, but what do we want to be known for? I remember teaching a class in the Boys' Model, North Belfast. We're doing the Reformation and we're doing about Protestantism. And I said to the boys of North Belfast, well, what's a Protestant? And they collectively, almost like a little choir, said, not a Catholic. And I thought, goodness, they know what they're against. They've no idea what they're for. So we need to keep an eye on ourselves. We need to keep remembering what the apostles and what Jesus taught, the tried and tested truths of the church and her servants. That's not a bad little resolution. Sure, it's not for September around the corner for a new season of life at Ballygilbert. And Jude has a few ways we can do that. You know, it's easy to say keep an eye on yourself, but Jude has ways we can do that. He says the church is like a busy building site. New building sites, constant activity, armies of people, workers doing all kinds of things. It's noisy, it's constant. And Jude has this idea of being the same. You're building yourselves up. But we're not doing plumbing or electrics or brickwork or landscaping. We're working on ourselves. And the work of faith is about praying and loving and waiting. Do you remember the divisive ones who don't have the Spirit? That's above my head. Real Christians pray in the Spirit. But you, dear friends, building yourselves up, the building site, in your most holy faith and praying in the Spirit. Now, I know you're feeling it. You're thinking, oh, he's going to talk about prayer. He's going to make us feel guilty. It's really easy to do that. We can feel guilty about prayer. It's been made into something it's not, folks. Let me tell you a few secrets. Prayer has been turned into this mystical art. It's complicated. You've got to use the right words and the right formulas. And there are people who think, I could never pray. I could certainly never pray in the prayer meeting, my goodness. Listen, I'm your minister, but I'm also your friend. And I can't say this enough to you. Prayer is talking. And listen, I know everyone in this room is good at talking. It's talking. Anyone can do it, and everyone should do it. Because prayer does more than just, Lord, we need this, or Lord, can I have this, or Lord, you know, someone's sick in the hospital again. That's part of prayer, but it's not the whole thing. Do you know what prayer is? Do you know what prayer does? Prayer makes you and I very aware of the gap between the way things should be and the way they are. And when we pray, we're asking God to close that gap. We need that for ourselves. From where you are to what you should be, there's a gap. To the way the world is, the way that it should be, there's a gap. We need to pray about that. And it's one of the ways that Jude says you build the church. So prayer meeting's back in a couple of weeks. I'll leave it there. We also keep ourselves in God's love. I'm going to pause here and hand the sermon over to Jesus because he says this much better than I can. Jesus says, as the Father's loved me, I've loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and I remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I've loved you. Folks, let's not miss that Jesus is at the center of this Christian life. He is the center. You won't make it without him. You will not make it without him. You won't change anything without him. So we're praying, we're building, we're loving, and we're also waiting. We wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus. Another reminder, God will one day get involved again. He will intervene. He will bring mercy to everyone everywhere. So how do you keep an eye on yourself? You keep yourselves in God's love by prayer and practicing that love and by waiting. Okay, I don't want to panic you. That's my longest point this morning. Okay, we're going to go pretty quick from here. If you're thinking, goodness, how many more of these to go? It's two, but they're shorter. Okay, stay with me. Keep an eye on yourself. Keep an eye on each other. That's so important. There's to be no lone rangers in the church, even though we try that so often. Jude's been dealing here with divisions and false teachers in the church, and that's the background for what he says about keeping an eye out for each other. Again, like driving on holiday, my concentration wasn't just on what I was doing, but very much on what other people were doing. We took a trip into Paris. Let me tell you, those guys on the mopeds are lunatics. You could not watch them closely enough. Keep an eye out for other people. One of the things that Jude loves to do are little triplets. If you go home today and you read the letter of Jude yourself, it's about 30 seconds of reading, you'll see little triplets. He loves threes. Think about the last one we just did, praying, loving, waiting. Well, there's another triplet here, and he uses that to get us thinking about other people. He starts with a group who are full of doubts. Now, it says this in the NIV, but that's actually wrong. The word doubt is too small there. It's not just doubt, it's questioning. This is the person you know who is just full of questions about faith. And you're chatting with them, and they're going from here to there to there. The goalposts keep moving, and they're full of questions, and some of that is part of their doubts. They're a bit at odds with themselves. The natural response to that is to become a little bit exasperated. That can tire us out. But God says, choose mercy. Be merciful to those who doubt. Be quick with your kindness. We're saying to the children. And the reason we start with an eye on ourselves is because it motivates us to keep an eye on others. It's actually more helpful to run these verses together. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Do you see how it just goes straight into the next group? You and others. You and others. The second group he mentions are those whose doubts and questions turn into actions. There's a story of a young man, university, and he comes home from the holidays from university, and he wants to speak to his minister. He wants to have a coffee. He wants to talk about what he's been learning, and he's got some questions in his mind. So they sit down over lunch, and the young man starts into it, and he says to his minister that he started to wonder about these questions. You know, how old is the earth? Is it really as old as we think, or is it younger? What about these miracles of Jesus? Are they real? Do they matter? Can we trust those? It's really hard, isn't it, to be sure about things like heaven and hell? I mean, it sounds so medieval. Is that real? He was full of questions, full of doubts. And he lays it all out for the minister, and the minister takes a second and sips his coffee, and he says to him, "Tell me this, how long have you been sleeping with your girlfriend?" And the young man says, "How did you know?" He was stunned. Doubts, questions, thoughts had turned into action. The world will say, no big deal. They'll play it in the dangers of that. It's 2023 after all. I mean, come on. Jude says, be merciful to those who are full of questions. Watch for dangerous behavior in others, because the danger comes in the way he phrases the advice. Look how seriously he takes this. Save others by snatching them from the fire. Now, there's no time this morning to get into that, but that's judgment. That's bad stuff, and we snatch them because we don't want to get burned. That's mercy. That's helping. That's the right thing to do. Do you know our problem with that is that we've been trained by the world not to do it. We've taken living, active faith with each other, and we've privatized it. Faith's a personal thing. It's a quiet thing. You don't talk about it at dinner parties. And we take that line in the church. Do you know, it seems to me, folks, if we're keeping our wits about us and we're keeping our eye on each other as well, as we head into another church year, we might need to change our behavior. Because our shallow fellowship cannot reach the deep places where the monsters lurk. Hi, how are you? Fine, thanks. How are you? Is not going to cut it. That is not going to help us on a Sunday morning. Do you know, it's the same as before. If we're waiting for mercy, we need to show it. If we've been rescued from sin and death, we need to help others and warn them and rescue them. Because the last group that Jude mentions is the scary one. These are the people who have turned thought into action, into habit. Now, we can still be merciful, but Jude says, be very, very careful here. These are people who are essentially living lives committed to sin and division. Here's the warning. Show mercy mixed with fear. Folks, do you see how we're to be with one another? Do you feel the challenge of that? Are you nervous all of a sudden about speaking this way to a spouse or to a relative or to a friend or to the friend you have at church? Listen, I get it. I feel that nervousness too. But when we reach the end of this life, and that's in mind here. When we reach the end, you and I will not be judged on how pleasant we were. We will be judged on how merciful we were. And that takes more than being nice. I think that's a good challenge for September and beyond. Listen, if I try it with you, will you be kind? And if you try it with me, I'll try to be kind. Yeah, we're here to help each other. So, okay, we're almost there. I'm keeping an eye on my life. I'm watching out for you guys, and you're watching out for me. We're showing mercy. We're giving needed warnings. We're being careful with each other as we do that. We're praying. What is God doing here? Listen, the biggest mistake we can make in the church is to try to live the Christian life without God. Especially when God is able to do a lot in the Christian life. Jude ends where he begins with a prayer. This isn't him signing off the letter with a lovely little benediction. It's the climax of what we've heard. If we're going to keep going and persevering, then we need a glimpse of where we're heading. When we were driving to Paris a few weeks ago, there was a surefire way of knowing we were close. All of a sudden, in the distance appeared this very recognizable spire, and it was the Eiffel Tower. We knew we were going in the right direction, thank goodness. We were getting closer, thank goodness. Here come the mopeds. We were almost there. We were encouraged that we were going in the right direction. We were nearly where we're supposed to be going. You need that encouragement as well. And here it's found where all the encouragements are found, God. God is able to do two things at the close of Jude. He can keep you from falling, and he can present you to himself perfect. Think of it like a marathon. Running and finishing a marathon takes a huge effort. And it's not just the runner. There are coaches and friends. There's fellow runners. There's stewards. There's the water stations and the timers. There's a whole effort in getting you to the end of the marathon. It keeps us going. It keeps us on the right track. It keeps us from tripping over ourselves or tripping over others. And God says, I'll do that for you. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling. He's able to greet us as well, though, at the end of the race. Like a marathon, anyone who runs one wins. Did you notice this about marathons? They're not like other races. First over the line isn't the real achievement. Just crossing the line is. To finish a marathon is to win it. And what will the Christian experience at the end of their race, of their marathon? He'll keep us from stumbling. He will present you before his presence without fault and with great joy. A glimpse of where we're heading to encourage us to keep going, to keep an eye on our lives, to watch out for each other and remember that God is watching us and God is willing us on. And the result is praise. This letter, this life, will end in the same way, with worship. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, lots there, but we long to be better at this Christian life than we are. Our hearts ache for connection with you and community with each other. But we stumble, we fall over the trivial stuff and the temporary stuff. We fall into bad habits and bad thinking. Forgive us for that and set us straight this morning. Deepen our faith, deepen our fellowship, that many would be drawn in and that we would all finish this life well and with you. Father, would you make Jesus our pace setter, our trailblazer, and the way that we take each day? For our prayers go to you through him, as we say. Amen.